I'll definitely be asking for it, Alvy. Give me that deck of yeah. Because I feel good. I feel good, not because it's Friday, but because I know I've got a good show for you. Let's get it. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. In fact, we are live in the Rocket Mortgage studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions of bucks during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. You want to see rules and enter for free at RocketMortgageSquares.com.
Good show, dude.
Thanks, Tommy. If you happen to be watching on CBS Sports Network, you probably just saw the guest lineup. I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the program. Good to be with you. I'm live in Southern California like I am every single day. And in terms of it being such a good show, here is why. First, let me start with your telephone number. The first interview is not until 9:40 Pacific. In other words, about 40 minutes from right now. So get in here. Set the tone. Set the stage. Let's get it. 1-800-636-8686. If you don't mind, can you follow me on Twitter? That'd be great. Especially since I saw a recent purge. People lost followers again. Freaking bots. Hit me up at Jim Rome. Follow me. Tweet at the program. Do the same thing on Instagram at Jim Rome. Jack with our Facebook page. It's where James Kelly lives. Speaking of James Kelly, let me jump all the way to hour number three. We've got the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, meaning big head bets. JK is going to join me at 11:20 Pacific time. And I got to be honest, these are tough games to pick. Really tough games to pick. My feeling in terms of these matchups, we could talk head-to-head. But if you want to talk about going against the spread, and I'll make this point when he comes on, but I pride myself on not being that coin flip guy. Those are all coin flip games to me in terms of playing it against the spread. So the big head has been working it all week. We'll get his thoughts. That's 11:20. Starting in hour number one, we're going to talk some hockey. Yeah, I said it. An NHL Network analyst, show favorite, Kevin Weeks, joins me at 40 past. Kevin!
Which doesn't put...
Another show favorite, Ross Tucker, top of hour number two. Speaking of bets in the NFL, Ross, I'm sure, will have some thoughts. So those are the three interviews that we have. Because it's Friday, it's an ATP day. It's a WTW day. I hope you backed it in. I hope you denimed up. And I hope you went casual. 1-800-636-8686. Now that I've set the table for you, let me start off with the first take. Duval! Yeah, Alvy, I'm not sure you know this, but that's our new Duval call. The Queen.
Danica.
What's up, Queen? Anyway, it is official, Duval. You've got your guy. Your guy is Herb. Urban Meyer, the guy with three national championships and a bunch of retirements, is now your guy. He's now your guy, and I've got to be straight. Well, I have been critical of him in the past and some of the bullcrap he's pulled in the past. I have to say that I like this hire. There's a lot to like about the hire. I like it for Saxonville because of what it says about that team and that organization. And what it says is they're trying to win, and they're willing to pay the price to win. They're not looking to go the cheap route. In fact, they're probably going the most expensive route because not only do you have to pay Herb's salary, which in and of itself would be pretty fat, it's also about all the other money and guarantees of support that he's going to want in Jacksonville. Now, this is the guy that Jacksonville targeted from the very jump, and they end up landing their guy. So that's big. It says something. It's a statement by the Jags. They took a big swing. Now, if they take that big swing and they come up short, whoever else they end up with would have felt like a total fallback. Instead, they went big game hunting, and they bagged the prize. Now, I'm not going to say that this guy is a lock, anything but. I mean, how many great college coaches have we seen get their asses kicked trying to see if their process and their system work on Sundays? How many of them? Pretty much all of them, or most of them. Well, actually, that's not fair. Not all of them. You know, the right guy in the right situation can kill it, i.e. Jimmy Johnson. But the wrong guys in the wrong situation will get wrecked, i.e. Nick Saban, Steve Spurrier, Lou Holtz. So the question, of course, is Herb the right guy in the right situation? Maybe. Maybe. Now, here's what you do get if you get Urban Meyer. You get the rare guy who has won absolutely everywhere he's been. I mean, yes, he's also had scores of players arrested at Florida. He had that disgraceful exit at Ohio State. But if you want to win, he's the closest thing to the sure thing that you can get. And he's going to bring that reputation with him. I mean, clearly, this is a guy who has been biding his time, doing his research, and waiting for the right opportunity. And of all the available jobs in the NFL this offseason, this one is the best opportunity. Like, don't be fooled. On the surface, this is Urban Meyer taking over a one-win team in a small market. But in reality, it's something totally different. It's an organization that's in the middle of a hard reset. A complete Control-Alt-Delete. Like, the old reality for the Jags is that they're a one-win team in Jacksonville, and they've been clowned hard. But the new reality is they're getting Urban Meyer. They're getting Trevor Lawrence. They've got 4 picks in the top 45. They've got 11 picks overall. And they've got anywhere from 75 to upwards of 100 mil in cap space. So if you're going to make the jump to the NFL, now is the time to do it. And this is the team. Because this team should be good. Like, what are your two biggest questions for any NFL team? Who is your head coach? Who is your quarterback? And not necessarily in that order. Jacksonville has answered those two questions about as well as you can. Just this side of, I don't know, setting up a time machine to the year 2000 and bringing back Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So they're going to go into 2021 with the greatest quarterback prospect of a generation and one of the best football coaches of a generation. So that's not bad at all. And if you're looking for somebody who can build a winner, then Herb is that guy. He's great at identifying talent. He's great at developing that talent. And I'm not just talking about five-star recruits. I'm talking about guys under the radar as well. And he's rock solid when it comes to X's and O's and motivation and setting the standard and never deviating from that standard. I mean, that's what the guy's best at. Building a winner. Now, notice the one word that I'm not going to use. Culture. He loves it. He always uses that word, but I'm not going to use it because, well, I mean, look at it, right? Look at his Florida teams. If you want to talk culture, look at how he handled Zach Smith. When you consider those things, I'm not sure that's exactly the definition of great culture. In fact, I'd say that at times it got pretty toxic. But again, they won a hell of a lot of football games. Pretty much everywhere he's been. If he can do that in Jacksonville, check that. He should do that in Jacksonville. He better do that in Jacksonville. As long as he doesn't puke all over himself, that team should be pretty good. And if Urban Meyer is, in fact, the winner that everybody makes him out to be, then he'll be fine. He will win, just not out of the gate. But if he doesn't win there, that will ding his legacy, no doubt. I mean, the pressure is on. Whatever the Jags are paying him and everybody around him, they're not doing it just to win a few games or to be competitive or even to battle for a wild card spot. You do something like this. You take this big swing because you want to contend for Super Bowls. Meyer's got to know, right, that if he fails here, sure, he'll have stacks and stacks of cash, but his rep is going to take a hit, possibly a big hit. And I say that because if you can't develop Trevor Lawrence, and you can't win with Trevor Lawrence, it's going to be a pretty horrible look for one of the greatest college coaches in the last half century. But, you know me, I'm about the positives. I've got another positive for you. Maybe the best part about Urban Meyer coaching the Jags is that it's not a college gig, which means we don't have to hear his sanctimonious garbage about molding young men and all that junk while having one guy after another arrested. And we don't have to hear him claim that he's going to quit the sport because he doesn't like the state of the game when he was one of the leading contributors to the state of the game. And we don't have to hear about how he claimed to have, quote, significant memory issues, end quote, when it came to that Zach Smith situation due to the medicine he takes. See, we don't have to worry about that crap now because in the NFL, the only thing that matters is winning. And that's what this guy does. I mean, sure, he'll probably be sanctimonious as hell, but nobody needs to listen. And you sure as hell don't need to believe him when he starts doing it. The guy wins. He does win. But can he develop an NFL quarterback? I think that's a fair question. Because his track record of quarterbacks, Meyer quarterbacks in the NFL, not so good. And Trevor Lawrence is entering the league at a pretty advanced stage of development, man. He better get something out of him. Can he make him better? Can he surround him with elite talent? Again, he better, because this is a massive opportunity. And if he can't cash it in, it's going to be a massive failure. All of that said, I like it. I do like it. It's a big swing. Now go out and prove me right, Herb. And don't be looking to bail when you lose a few games, because you're going to lose a few games. In fact, more than a few games. You're going to lose a hell of a lot before it starts to turn. So this time, Herb, see it through. Finish what you start. I like the hire. I think he's smart to go there. In fact, I haven't been this hyped on the Jags since Brunell was slinging it to Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell. Shout out to Fred Taylor. Tony Baselli, what's up, big dog? Tony Brackens, how you living? My man Rob Johnson was there. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. In fact, we had a tour stop back in the day at Jayville. In fact, they had a Super Bowl back in the day at Jayville, if you can believe that. 1-800-636-8686. And for whatever reason, Tim Tebow decided to let everybody know that even though his coach and mentor and good friend is taking over there, Tebow himself is not going. Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks, Tim, for that. Breaking, I am not moving to Pittsburgh to take Ben Roethlisberger's place next year. Is there anybody anywhere who wondered if Tim Tebow was going to Jacksonville? Like, where the hell did that come from?
Appreciate that.
All right, in addition to that, some other topics. It's Friday. Why don't we talk about everybody's favorite topic?
Today's Friday.
Money. Money. Follow the money. I've got stories on money. How about the Jets? The Jets are known for what? Making really bad decisions. Year after year after year after year. And it would appear they finally made a really good decision. Robert Saleh gets that job. Love that hire. We will get into that. They're still talking about the NFL playoffs on Nick. I have an update on that too. 1-800-636-8686. Quickly, some reaction before I go to break. Rome, more playoff big head bets picks? Gambly.
Ambi.
War Aaron Rodgers starting the quest for ring number two tomorrow. Chris in Milwaukee. That is true, too. Packers, Rams, Jared Goff is going to play. In fact, get that start. The Packers, by virtue of getting the one seed, get the week off. They got the bye. That's going to help them. Kansas City's the one in the AFC, and they got their bye. This guy decided to send me a poem. Roses are red. Herb's not a phony. The players call him coach. I call him tenderoni. Signed, superfan Nika. It's well done, Denlesks. That's well done. Roses are red, Herb's not a phony. The players call him a coach. I call him tenderoni. Because if there's anything we know about the queen, Nika, she's looking to find a young stud or tenderoni and take him home and ruin him.
Is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
What an amazing line. I mean, that's a line that's not only aging well, it's getting better. It's getting better. That's like a fine, fine, fine bottle of wine, that line. No wonder she's the fan of the year for Jacksonville. Can you imagine? I don't know what that contest involved, but all she had to do was send a wave file, a sound file of this to the team. I mean, the Jacksonville fan of the year, she's the sports fan of a lifetime
now,
for that take.
I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
Paulie and Indy, quote, I like the Jags' big swing. What's the worst that can happen? Sound the Angels giving Pujols 10 years. Yeah, no, not one and the same. I'm not saying that Herb is a lock. I'm saying it is a big swing, and I think it's a good move for them. It's a good move for him, and let's see. I know it's a good move for him. Maybe not in terms of his legacy. Like, if he can't get it done and he fails, that's a bad look. But for a guy that's been on the sideline, who gets offered jobs every single year to wait and wait and wait and wait and do his research, this is as good of an opportunity as he could possibly get. He played that thing perfectly. Now we'll see whether or not he cashes it in. And finally, dear Rome, Herb is an absolute lock to succeed in Jacksonville. Signed, Diets. Casey, New Hampshire. Again, Nick Saban is the greatest college coach ever. Didn't get it done in the NFL. Lou Holtz was a hell of a college coach. Got his head handed to him in the NFL. Steve Spurrier, unbelievable college coach. Failed miserably in the NFL. Jimmy Johnson, great college coach, great NFL coach. It's possible. It's not likely, but it's possible. So we'll see. Quick timeout. The Big Head in hour number three. So who do you like this week, man? Good, good matchups. But tough to pick against the spread. The Big Head looking for a big bounce back. When we come back, hopefully a phone call or two to get us going. I'm good on content. I've got a ton to get to, but I'd love to get you involved in here. 1-800-636-8686.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
So on the one hand, we're living through an extremely tumultuous and challenging time. And then on the other hand, if I want to flip this thing on its head, there's never been a better time to be alive. The Browns and the Bills are both in the playoffs. I mean, how amazing is that? Buffalo has got another playoff game at home. So they're looking to continue that dream season. The Ravens are coming in, and the Ravens are starting to look once again like the bully that they've been. Who you got? In terms of the Browns have to go up and deal with Kansas City. Kansas City had that week off, so they're fresh, they're rested. In fact, Patrick Mahomes has had a couple of weeks off. He probably feels like a million.
Mahomes.
Now, if you want to play the spread, can you imagine the Browns getting 10? 10. If you're into that sort of thing. Also, Friday is an ATP day. If you're new to the program, we do this every single Friday. It's the Ask the Pros segment. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Don't do it on Twitter. Don't do it on the phones. You have to go to that specific address, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me anything you want. Listen later on in the program, and I might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We do that every single Friday. Today is Friday, Hood. Tomorrow is Saturday. Yesterday was Thursday. The day after tomorrow is Sunday. So let me talk for a minute about the Jets. The Jets have made a lot of strange moves over the years. And by strange, I just mean bad. Bad moves. Like, if there was a wrong decision to be made, the Jets would make it. Except now, they have finally made a good move. A really good move, I think. They've hired 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh to be their new head coach. And if we're being honest, the best move, actually, was firing Adam Gase. But hiring Saleh as the logical follow-up is a really good move. Like, if nothing else, the Jets have massively improved their chances in a coach's Royal Rumble. Going from Adam Gase to Robert Saleh in that department is about as big of a leap as you can make. You go from a guy who needed smelling salts to coach a game to a dude who runs the stadium stairs before the game. And Saleh is instantly near the top of the list of the head coaches that you do not want to have to physically fight. I mean, this dude's put together. And you probably do not want to trade hands with that guy. But even more importantly, he is also near the top of the list of the head coaches who you want to play for. All you have to do is listen to the 49ers defensive players that I've had on this show the last couple of years and hear the love and the respect they have for Saleh. And to hear how fired up they get when he gets fired up on the sideline. But, again, this guy's more than just some bald dude in crazy shape, which is not to be confused with the bald guy on my staff who's in the worst shape imaginable. Ritt.
Finally.
I guarantee Saleh is not double-fisting hot cocoa. It's 6:45 in the morning like old Ritt there. But the thing is, Robert Saleh looks great and he's in great physical condition. But if being bald and strong and amped was all it took to be a great defensive coordinator, then you could go into any Gold's Gym in America and have your choice of about 100 quality D coordinators. Not only does this guy bring unbelievable energy, and he can motivate, and he can inspire, and get guys to run through or over brick walls, he can scheme with the best of them as well. Like San Francisco this year was without Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, Dee Ford, and Richard Sherman for most of the season, and yet that defense still finished 5th in yards allowed, 4th in passing yardage. I mean, that's stupid. How many other D coordinators could lose 4 critical players and barely miss a beat? And again, it's not just about scheme. He's a leader as well. You listen to anybody who has ever played for this guy or coached with him, and they will tell you that. Do you remember what Richard Sherman had to say earlier this year after the 49ers beat the Rams?
You got to give Coach Saleh abundance of credit. You have to give him an unusual amount of credit, and I don't think he's getting enough credit, not only here, but in the league in general. We lose backers throughout the week. We got guys who can't practice. It's week after week, and he never makes an excuse. And statistically, we're still a top 5 defense in almost every category. You know, there are guys out there with Pro Bowlers, all pros, and never lost, never had an injury, never had any adversity, and they're not putting out a top 5 defense. He's not making any excuses. He's making great plans week in and week out, and we're making it happen. And I expect him to be a head coach next year because of what he's able to do. You know, he's able to rally men. You know, he's a leader of men, and that goes a long way.
And that is extremely high praise, really high praise from a guy who knows the game and is not afraid to call people out. He said he is a leader of men. You know, you hear that phrase, but when Richard Sherman says it and says it like that, that gets my attention. And he's not the only guy saying it. See, here's the thing again about hiring head coaches. You never really know which ones are going to work and which ones won't, especially guys who've never done it before, and especially in a market like that. That market is not for everybody. Not everybody can survive a market like that. I mean, there are a lot of guys who've had a lot of hype, and there are a lot of guys who've had former players stumping for them and hyping them, and it didn't work out. But then you've got coaches who nobody thought would work out, and then it did. Then again, after seeing the Jets' last introductory presser, there was absolutely nobody thinking that that head coach, with the eyes bugging out of his head, the guy who looked like he was on an acid trip from hell, was there anybody anywhere who thought that guy was going to succeed? No, and that turned out to be the case. But Gase's sucking aside, there is no sure thing in coaching. There's almost no guarantee when you hire a head coach that it's going to work out. So I'm not going to sit here and guarantee that that is a home run hire. But I can guarantee this. If the Jets wanted to turn around their culture and change their organization, then they've got the right guy. Adam Gase spent chunks of his press conferences being a weasel, never really taking any responsibility for anything that happened. It was always a mystery as to why the team was losing, why certain plays were called. It was never his fault. This guy was, in other words, the anti-leader. And if Gase was the anti-leader, Saleh is the opposite of that. A flat-out leader. A guy leading from the front. And if something doesn't go well, he'll own it. He's not going to pass the buck. He's not going to act like it never happened. He's not going to pretend that he has no idea what you're asking him. It's going to stop with him. So if you really want to change an organization and rebuild a team, you've got to start with a head coach who is going to accept ownership and accountability. And if you're still wondering about Saleh, here's Kyle Shanahan on the new Jets head coach.
I don't know what's wrong with people if they don't hire him. I mean, he's as good as he can get, and he's going to hire the best staff. He knows about players. He knows who knows what they're talking about, who doesn't know what they're talking about. And he also knows how to deal with people. So I hope everyone's not very smart and doesn't hire him so I can keep him. But I'm expecting not to have him.
Perfectly said. As succinct as possible. And one more note on coaching changes. Since Jacksonville and the Jets already have their guys, and I've broken this down already, other teams are starting to close in on theirs, and there seems to be this speculation, this rumbling, that Eric Bieniemy might get shut out again. And to me, that's just whack as hell.
That's whack.
I mean, it's ridiculous, honestly. It was absurd last year, and if it was absurd last year, it's going to be even more absurd this year if it happens again. Somebody should do the right thing and hire this guy stat. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why that's not happening. Do the right thing. Do the smart thing. Hire Eric Bieniemy. When we return, Kevin Weeks, NHL Network analyst, joins us. We're talking hockey. Then the top of the hour, we go to Ross Tucker in hour number three. His head is enormous. And he's got takes. Lots of them. Big head bets in the third hour. Alvy's back, which means...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So let me tell you what you get if you watch and listen to this show. A lot of quality. A lot of quality. You get great takes from me. You get really bad phone calls from some of the listeners. And you know what else you get? You get quality hockey talk. I love the NHL. I have always loved the NHL. I'm not some Johnny come lately. I grew up in Los Angeles.
Hockey.
I'm a Los Angeles native. When I was a kid growing up, we had season tickets to the LA Kings. I've mentioned even on the air prior to that, we had season tickets to the Los Angeles Sharks way back in the day. So I grew up a fan of that sport. I loved it. I would go to the LA Forum, you know, prior to 99 showing up, prior to Bruce McNall buying that team, prior to 99 coming to town. Used to go to the Forum back in the day where they would let season ticket holders go to the Forum Club after. I love hockey. So best know that you're going to get that on this program. And I'm going to find the best and the brightest to talk to me about the game. As an example, I'm joined right now by an NHL Network analyst. More than 14 years in professional hockey, he helped lead the Carolina Hurricanes to the 2002 Stanley Cup Final. He was a second-round pick back in 1993. You can watch my guest on NHL Tonight throughout the season. Plus, NHL Network is going to air Penguins and Flyers tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Kevin Weeks is my guest. Kevin, it is so good to have you back. Kevin, how are you?
I'm great, Romy. Thanks so much, man. How are you? Happy New Year to you. Hope you and the family are healthy and safe, and you guys had a great holiday season, man.
Same. We are great, Kevin. I hope the same for you and your family. So the NHL is back, and you and my guy, Tony Loughman, are back talking highlights. Like, what is life like for you now that the league has once again resumed play and is underway?
Life in the fast lane. That's what it's been like. It literally feels like you're on the Autobahn on the inside fast lane just speeding. And I say that in a way just because the pace has been crazy so far. It seemed like it took so long, which it did. And then to, of course, craft the return to play, all the health and safety protocols for all the staff, all the employees, team staff, players, et cetera. And then all of a sudden they just get shot out of a cannon. And with this being a 56-game schedule and a compressed season, every single game matters in a way that it always does game 1 through 82 because of our competitive balance in the league. But you can multiply that by about, I don't know, add another 30% to that based on this being a compressed year. So it's been crazy. Your boy Tony and I were on last night on NHL Tonight on the NHL Network, your boy Tony Loughman. So we had a lot of fun. It's been great, but it is pedal to the metal And I love being on the air almost every night in front of our great fans. It's been a lot of fun.
That's great. Kevin Weeks is joining us. It is a 56-game season. So let me ask you about some things that have happened so far. Connor McDavid had a hat trick in the first two periods last night against Vancouver. He also added an assist. I mean, nothing he does should surprise us at this point, but what did you make of that performance?
Incredible, man. I mean, amazing watching him and Leon Draisaitl, the German reigning MVP from them, number 29. But Connor McDavid is the fastest player I've ever seen play. I know Barzal is right there. He won the fastest skater competition, Barzal from the Islanders. But Connor McDavid is literally a fighter jet on ice among other fighter jets. It is crazy. I'm looking for them to maybe put a U.S. Air Force flag on him somehow, some type of decal or something as like an honorary member. He just plays at warp speed. And his not only the speed, but the speed of his feet, which is supersonic, is matched by the speed of his hands and the computer in his brain. And I just heard you talking before you had me on about the Kings and when the great 99 came to L.A. and you growing up being a hockey fan too out there. Gretz, I remember talking to Gretz last year, the great Wayne Gretzky, here at Madison Square Garden in New York after Edmonton played here on their East Coast swing. And he's like, wait, do you see our team? Do you see our team? Do you see 97? Do you see 97? Look at our team this year. We're better. We're more. That's Gretz. And for the tip of the mountain, like of Mount Rushmore of hockey, the great Wayne Gretzky to be saying that about Connor McDavid, it tells you everything. So last night was incredible. Once again, we were losing our minds on set, Tony and I. We had a lot of fun because it just brings you out of your seat.
Guys, absolutely incredible. And to me, Kevin, I mean, the speed is really something, but when you look at that performance and you look at each of the goals, they were all different, especially that second goal where he showed that great speed you're talking about, but he absolutely buried the shot. As a goalie, what would concern you the most about his game?
Just the unpredictability, to your point there, because you don't know what's coming. Like the speed, supersonic, you blink and he's in their end, down at the far end. And you blink, he's on top of you with like a grade A chance. And because he's so skilled and he has improved his shot, you don't know if he's going to blow by you with speed or a combination of speed and shot or speed and power, or he's going to beat you. So he just has so many, from a pitcher standpoint, I guess, if you will, he has so many out pitches that he has command of and so many different pitches that he can get you out with. And I got to tell you, man, he's a lot of fun to watch. He is worth the price of admission. One of the most electrifying athletes to see in person. I think our sport, as you know, too, is the best live sport to watch just based on intensity and skill and speed. But he takes that to a whole new level. When you see him play live, it literally takes your breath away when you watch him go.
Kevin Weeks, my guest, I've always said that, and it's true. Hockey is the best spectator sport there is. I've always said that. I'll stand by that. I believe that. People who don't understand that have never been to a game before. It's not necessarily the greatest TV sport, as we know, because the puck travels so quickly, but it is a good TV sport, to be sure, but it's the best spectator sport. Kevin, what about the Penguins and Flyers? They're going to play tonight on NHL Network. How does this Penguins team look to you compared to the previous great Pittsburgh teams in the Sidney Crosby era?
This team right now is in a retool, and they're continually trying to retool just based on the salary cap and the fact that they made some moves in this offseason again. And remember, they traded Matt Murray, their ace goalie, and they have Tristan Jarry, who was an all-star for them last year, who played really well. I mean, what a team where you could draft and develop Marc-Andre Fleury, Hall of Famer, who's down in Vegas. You then succeed him with Matt Murray, who helps you win two cups. You now trade him. And you had Jarry last year, who's an all-star. So that really speaks to the embarrassment of riches and how well they developed. But what will be a challenge, Romy, for me, is their depth players in their third and fourth line. You know what you're going to get out of the great Sidney Crosby. You know what you're getting out of Malkin, the great Malkin, two Hall of Famers. You know what you're getting from Chris Letang on the blue line. But their support players are what will remain TBD for me, to be determined, because as much as Sid and those other stars can pull them, you know, in our sport, you need everybody in the lineup. So I'm very cautious, and I'm looking to see objectively how their support players are going to play. On the other end of it, though, for me, I think that the Philadelphia Flyers, and I said this on the air the other night in our preview show on the NHL Network, I think that the Philadelphia Flyers are one of the most underrated teams in the league, and I see the Flyers as being a Stanley Cup contender now. I love the Flyers team. I love the transformation last year. I love what I see from the Fly guys right now. Starting in net with Carter Hart, their young stud goalie who's 21, 22 years old and already one of the best goalies on the planet.
Kevin Weeks is joining us. I was going to ask you about him, Kevin, because you made the point on your pluses and minuses blog on NHL.com that Carter Hart is, in fact, already one of the best goalies on the planet. He's only 22. What do you like so much about his game?
Okay, so everybody's been talking about Carter Hart since like 15, 16. And then he went and played in the WHL in the Western League back up in Western Canada, and he played for Everett in Washington, Everett Silvertips. And he shredded up that league. Like, his numbers are video game-like. So then he went to the minors for half a year, and he wasn't as good, but he was still good. And then he came up to the Flyers, and he's exactly as good as he was a junior. Like, that's trippy. That's very rare that you see that quickly for a goalie. And I love his head. I've had the chance to talk to him numerous times. I've gone live on him on Instagram. I love him. He's personable but respectful. He's old school but new school. He respects older players. He loves the game. He loves his craft. He's a consummate pro. And for example, Carey Price is his favorite goalie, and he's the next Carey Price. And playing against Carey Price head to head, he was unfazed. So sometimes, and to bring the fans in, sometimes as a young player, when you come into the league, all the posters and hockey cards and sticker books and everything that you have back at your parents' house, those things are coming to life. You're playing against those guys now. Do you know what I mean? Or if you're a young basketball player, all of a sudden, a female, you're playing against Diana Taurasi. You're playing against Sue Bird. That's all coming to life real time. And sometimes it can be trippy, but it is not trippy for Carter Hart. I love his head. I love his skill set. And you know, Romy, from all the coverage that you do, Philly just down the turnpike from us here outside New York City. Philly's not an easy place to play.
No.
Whether you're a quarterback, whether you're a point guard, and certainly whether you're a goalie. And he's handled that perfectly so far. And that's a testament to him.
Kevin Weeks joining us for a few more moments. Now, Philly is not an easy place to play or live. I remember the first time, Kevin, I went to an All-Star game. I had never been in the city of Philadelphia. The second I walked off the curb, I'm looking around like, damn, this place is tough. Man, this is a tough, tough town. And that's just walking off a curb. Yeah. Let me ask you about John Cooper in Tampa Bay. They won the Stanley Cup last season. So, Kevin, when you look at the defending champs, what is the greatest challenge in defending? I mean, is it the fact that you might be fat and happy and complacent, or is it just the grind and the fact that the Stanley Cup run takes so much out of everybody?
I think it's the latter, because I don't think that team's going to be complacent just based on their group. They're going to be banged up a little bit, but they do have the benefit of two things, Romy. Number one, an extended offseason, right, instead of that short window. I know that when we played in the Stanley Cup final in 2002 with Carolina, that next year, it took so much out of us. That next year, we didn't even make the playoffs. We didn't. And ironically, I had one of the best personal seasons, but our team, we didn't play well. So I know how hard that is, which makes it all the more incredible that Pittsburgh was able to repeat 3 years ago, back-to-back. But as far as the Lightning are concerned, they get the benefit of the extended offseason. And then also, too, this is a compressed schedule. Instead of 82, it's 56 games. So to me, those are two advantages that weigh in their favor. And I love their team. Coop's done an amazing job. Their head coach, John Cooper, as you mentioned, he's won at every single level, Romy, from youth hockey to, you know, Texarkana, Texas. He's had an amazing odyssey, to somebody that was that's a lawyer, to somebody that worked on Wall Street, that played college lacrosse at Hofstra, to then coaching in the minors, to then winning in the minors, to then getting to the NHL Stanley Cup final in 2015, they lost against Chicago, and then getting back and winning. It's amazing what Coop's done and that group has done. They have a great owner in Jeff Vinnick. And I think they made some changes. As you know, Kucherov, one of their superstars, is out with a hip surgery. But Braden Point, their other superstar and their captain superstar, Stamkos, is back in the lineup playing very well. And they've got the best goalie on the planet in the big cat, Andre Vasilevskiy. So I think that they're poised and healthy enough to be able to push to compete for another cup. I love their team.
Kevin Weeks, my guest. Kevin, one last thought. You know, obviously it takes a very different breed to step between the pipes. I got to ask, how old were you the first time you did so, and what was that like? What do you remember about that?
You know what, Romy? Two things. I started when I was four playing street hockey with my older cousin Ian and our friends in the neighborhood back in Toronto downtown. And those guys are born in 68, 67, 69. I'm born in 75. So I was four, and they were playing street hockey, this is, and they put me in. Our main goalie who would play, his family emigrated to Canada from Greece, Lambros, and they moved back to Greece. So they're like, hey, if you don't want to be the ball chaser and you want to hang, you got to kind of go in there. So from there, I started playing on ice at St. Mike's, the famous St. Mike's Arena back home. When I was six, I registered to play house league, and it's all I wanted to do. Like, my first grade teacher, Miss Mahar, I remember writing my first book. You know, kids, you write your books in first or second grade. And I drew the center ice with the NHL logo, the scoreboard with the NHL logo, and myself as a goalie in the net. And from day one of 1981, my goal was to play in the NHL as an NHL goalie. And that was going to happen come hell or high water, no matter, you know, being a kid of Barbadian Caribbean parents, born in Canada, hardly any black goalies. But the great Grant Fuhr, as you know, was playing for the Edmonton Oilers. He's a Hall of Famer, winning cups, one of the best to ever do it. But come hell and high water, as one of the 60 NHL goalies on planet Earth, out of 7-plus billion people, I was going to be one of them. And that was my goal from day one. But it's a unique position. I think, the most scrutinized position in all pro sports. I think it's the hardest position. Pitchers and quarterbacks can relate to us for sure. But all things being equal, I think in team sport, that's the hardest position in the world to play.
There is nothing like it. You can watch Kevin Weeks on NHL Tonight throughout the season. Plus, NHL Network is going to air Penguins and Flyers this evening, 7 p.m. Eastern and 4 Pacific. Kevin, appreciate you very much. Great to have you back. Thanks so much.
You too, Romy. Thank you. Thanks to all the NHL fans out there. Also, the frontline workers, too, that have done an amazing job through this. And Romy, at some point, I just want to tell you two things. One, always love listening to you. Great job on the Kobe stuff. God bless his soul and their soul.
Gotta get out, my man. Ooh.